WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's touting new 25% tariffs that kick in on Mexican and Canadian imports tomorrow.
Canada's been very abusive of the United States for many years.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I am saying to President Trump, stop these tariffs. You campaigned on lowering prices.
Crews begin raising pieces of the American Airlines jet that collided with an Army helicopter from the Potomac today. Washington, D.C. Fire and EMS Chief John Donnelly.
During our salvage surveys in preparation to lift the aircraft, additional remains were located and removed from the river and taken to the medical examiner's office.
Remains of 55 of the 67 victims have been recovered. At the Grammys on CBS, Beyonce won her first Album of the Year prize and Country Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter.
I'd like to thank all of the incredible country artists that accepted this album. We worked so hard on it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a fan of the video game Fortnite and Sabrina Carpenter's music, this might be the most earth-shattering news you've ever heard, so have a seat. The pop star is in talks to have her image featured in the game Fortnite, according to Forbes, which reports the game will use her music and develop a skin in her likeness. Other artists that have been featured in Fortnite include Eminem, Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Mariah Carey, and Metallica. I still love watching people do the Fortnite dance. Selma Blair is back to work. The actress is the star of films like Cruel Intentions, The Sweetest Thing, and A Guy Thing, co-wrote by yours truly. Did you really think I was above making a shameless plug? Blair announced in 2018 that she was dealing with multiple sclerosis. According to Variety, the actress has signed on to three new film projects, including Stay Forte, which is the story of the three Israeli hostages taken by Hamas October 7th of last year. No real details were given about her MS, other than the actress says she's feeling much better. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another loss for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead but lost at home last night to the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-119. Giannis had 30 points, Chris Middleton with 20. Damian Lillard asked how Milwaukee has now lost to the Grizzlies 7 games in a row.
They got a lot of depth, so they're constantly bringing in different bodies, and they all fly around, they crash the glass. You know, to beat a team like this, you got to match that energy.
The Bucks are in Oklahoma City tonight against the Thunder. The Badgers are back home tomorrow night against Indiana. They picked up a win at Northwestern over the weekend. NFL in New Orleans, the Chiefs and the Eagles getting ready for the Super Bowl this Sunday. If Kansas City wins, that would make Patrick Mahomes a three-peat champion like Michael Jordan or baseball's Derek Jeter.
I'm watching them and listening to things when they talk about. That's helped shape my career on how I have to work. And obviously, that's a long way, so I feel like, still for me to go to be mentioned with those guys. But I'll try to do whatever I can to be close enough as I can be.
That's the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and have an all-new What's Worse. Your chance to call in, have your voice heard. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a little patchy fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high right around 38 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 22. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 30. We could see a little more freezing rain and snow by Wednesday night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday morning starting at 6.
A lot of news developing over the weekend that could impact Wisconsin agriculture and our Wisconsin farmers. Welcome to a Monday, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Yeah, and we're going to break it all down for you so you have the best facts available on just how important the export market is for Wisconsin farmers, Wisconsin agribusiness. We are also keeping an eye on what's going on with immigration policies and the White House. Are we looking at mass deportations? Is this something that Wisconsin agriculture could be impacted by? All those heavy items coming your way, I'm afraid. Weather-wise, what's coming your way, not quite as dramatic as all those headlines. Today, we may have a little patchy fog that you're dealing with this morning. Otherwise, it's going to be a cloudy Monday. Daytime highs today, right around 37 degrees. Winds out of the northwest, about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Make that northeast. And then tomorrow, cloudy skies, 25 are expected high. Wednesday, freezing rain is possible, maybe mixed with snow, probably afternoon. Cloudy skies for the rest of the day. Daytime highs on Wednesday around 32 degrees. Then for Thursday, cloudy skies and a little sun coming back around. High temperatures near 31. For Friday, partly sunny and 28. More weather details coming your way with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on a Monday.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Anybody that drives around rural America knows that there aren't as many lights on in the barns anymore because there aren't as many dairy barns as they used to be. The ones we do have are getting bigger. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, talking with a gentleman that knows all about it, Austin Frerich, and he's originally from Iowa, but he just recently published a book that's getting great acclamation, Barons, Money, Power, and the Corruption of America's Food Industry. And Austin, that's quite a title. What did your research all involve to go into the contents of this book that we said is being very highly acclaimed?
Yeah, so I mean, I should say this whole book started because it was me grappling with what happened to Iowa in my lifetime. Iowa should be the Tuscany of North America, but instead has the second highest cancer rate in America, has an obesity crisis, and has a water crisis. I'm from Cedar Rapids, driven northeast Iowa all my life, and you'd see animals, but now you don't. You smell them. And so much of this book is me figuring out, how did this happen? How did one man come to own be part of a 35,000 cow dairy operation? And how did those family farms die? And so that's my goal of this book, is to explain how we got to this moment where people are being gouged left and right in the grocery store.
How did you go about doing your research, and how long did you study this phenomenon, I guess, of what's going on in America?
I'm laughing because I worked on this book for 5 years. It started in a bar conversation in Des Moines. 2018, Iowa had a big governor's race, and the largest donor was a hog farmer, a hog baron. He donated $300,000 to the governor. And so I wanted to figure out, how did that happen, why? And a lot of this is just, I mean, what I realized writing this book is every commodity is different. Hogs are different than dairy, that's different than berries. The way we do agriculture in the Midwest is so different than California. And so I would just kind of focus in on one industry. And so to me, each robber baron too is a narrative device to tell you a bigger thing. So my grain baron's Cargill. But that chapter is really about the farm bill. So I'm kind of hiding the vegetable. Like, I'm trying to teach you these bigger things in the food system through like a punching narrative. But a lot of it is just talking to people, talking to old-time journalists in the space, talking to farmers, talking to academics. Like in my dairy chapter, you can see the influence of Wisconsin's Pete Hardin of the milkweed all over that chapter.
Now, We hear some economists that we've grown up with, agricultural economists and others, say it's you have to deal with economies of scale. And that means we can't be efficient with the smaller operations. We've got to get larger. How has that all come about, and how do you deal with that in your book?
Well, let me start with that premise. I don't actually put a lot of weight to those words from those people. A new article was published by a young lawyer in Iowa, Kate Conlow, talking about how a lot of those academics are not disclosing the corporate money they're receiving. So you have a lot of these academics telling us there's not gouging going on in the grocery store, and they're not telling you that they're taking money from the grocery store. I think ag economics is one of the most corrupt academic disciplines right now in America for that reason. That said, backing up, using USDA's data itself, America spent about $3,000 in the grocery store. That's more than Canada, Germany, United Kingdom, and about dollar for dollar for Italy. And I don't need to tell anyone that's been to Italy to know that a dollar gets there is very different than a dollar here. But here's the thing, we shouldn't be shocked. The concentrated markets gouge. That's what they do. There is a Goldilocks, there's a sweet spot in efficiencies, but at some point you collude. And I think the best example is actually in the meat markets and what's happening with McDonald's. So fun fact, McDonald's buys the most beef in the world, but McDonald's is now suing the beef packers for price gouging. You would think you would treat your best customer the best way possible, but they're not. And the fact that McDonald's is doing something about it tells you how broken these markets are, that we are past that point, that sweet spot of efficiencies.
And seems like we're almost past the spot of doing anything about it, because organizations aren't getting any smaller, consolidation isn't getting any less, and it's everything you do. I don't care, down Main Street America, you look at the small towns, they don't have a grocery store anymore, they don't have a department store anymore, they're going to the towns that can afford to have some of the, well, Walmarts, for lack of a different term.
The part of the reason why I chose to call my book Barons is I want to harken back to that Robert Barons of yesterday, because I want to show people we've been here before. We know what to do. We're not talking AI, we're talking hogs. We've dealt with concentrated meat markets before. So that's part of it. But also, to me, the silver lining of my book and what surprised me the most is how bipartisan this is. My favorite book review came from the American Conservative saying, quote, every conservative should read this book. I'm a big believer that the things get done in American history when weird bedfellows get together, and you're seeing that right now. This stuff is just going too far. Greed goes too far. And I think the outrage people feel in the grocery store is going to be the tipping scale here. I think we're just due for a Teddy Roosevelt moment, and you're seeing people tap into that.
And I think it reflects what happened in this last election. $3 eggs became the theme of this election.
$3 eggs and just prices. I mean, I had a grocery person tell me best that you judge your grocer based on your meat and dairy case. You know those prices, you judge on quality, and we got to focus on that. I think the most successful politician moving forward is going to be the one who actually does something meaningful there.
But how are they going to get something done meaningful, because it's something that's being accepted by not only the Congress, by the American business industry, and even to a certain extent by consumers? They might, you know, say that they're being robbed for everything that they buy, but really and truly, what are they doing about it, and what can they do about it?
Well, true, but don't forget, you have one party has full control in D.C. right now, and so the voters will decide, do they use the power they have to actually do something meaningful here? You know, it looks like President Trump won based on eggs. He has all the reins of power now in government. Will he do something meaningful? And then voters will probably have a whiplash effect if he doesn't.
What do you hope comes out of your book, for people to read your book? Again, Austin Frerich with us, and again, he just released a book, his debut book, Barons, Money, Power, and the Corruption of America's Food Industry. Corruption is a pretty strong word.
Yeah, but I mean, look at JBS. JBS is the world's largest meat packer, the largest meat packer the world's ever seen. They bribed their way to monopoly-level status. And I'm not talking campaign contributions. I'm talking they pled guilty in Brazil to giving a politician a Manhattan apartment. That is so scary for democracy. You can't, I mean, I don't want to feel sorry for Tyson's, but how can you compete against a company that became a monopoly through bribery? It undermines the rule of law that this country is built on. First of all, that's good politics of just doing something against criminals. And here's the thing, they weren't in America 20, 30 years ago. They came in, they bribed, they got a bunch of cheap money, and they bought a bunch of companies. So you can walk into your grocery store now not even realizing they're buying their product. Where we go, my goal with this book is I want to have an honest conversation over how we got here, but I want to show people it doesn't have to be this way.
But what's it going to take to change the trend, so to speak? Because like you said, it doesn't have to be this way, but it's the trend and it doesn't look like it's slowing down.
It takes politicians having courage to do the right thing for once. I mean, you're seeing it right now with President, to me, the best appointment by President Biden was Lina Khan, that young woman to chair the Federal Trade Commission. She got against a victory against Google for being a monopolist. That's incredible. First of all, she's loved by both sides of the aisle. That, to me, shows you the hope here. But here's the thing. She doesn't have the antitrust authority. Secretary Vilsack does at USDA, and he didn't do anything. The hope here, too, I should say, is look at where we are right now at this conference in Wisconsin Dells. This is the future, to me, of Wisconsin and the Midwest, is how do you grow this? How do you grow those middle-class family farms? Because you know what? They pay taxes locally. They send their kids to school locally. They make a better product. I think the underappreciated thing is the system right now makes bad-tasting food. You know, inputs matter, especially meat and dairy. A cow in a feedlot in New Mexico in the desert doesn't make a good milk compared to a cow on pasture in Wisconsin. And I see that with bacon in Iowa. Old-fashioned bacon just tastes better. And I think a lot of people in the store are saying you're paying more for food that doesn't taste that good. And I just want to show people, like, who isn't happy after a good meal? How do we step back from this ledge, take the temperature down, and just have good food?
Are you confident or hopeful it can happen?
Yeah, because we've done this before in America. I mean, I just think we're in another gilded age. And those gilded age moments always usher in reform eras. And that's my hope. It also is, we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get there overnight. But you got to start somewhere. And I think, to me, the big silver lining at the moment is ethanol's going to die. Cars are moving to hybrids and moving to EVs. What are we going to do with 50% of the corn land that's used now in ethanol production? Because we got to start figuring that out now. My goal is to put animals back on the land. But you got to have a plan, because right now it's like watching Wile E. Coyote run off a cliff.
Interesting book, interesting concept, and it's a popular book. Austin Furick, again, his book, Barons, Money, Power, and the Corruption of America's Food Industry. Read it and see what you think. Furick actually spent more than a month writing and researching his book as an in-residence author at the Wisconsin Farmers Union headquarters in Chippewa Falls. Austin Furick was also the main speaker at the 2024 annual meeting of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbush Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers criminy.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. John Lupinacci.
On our next show, it's Friday. Join us, Tim and Johnny. We're going to be chopping up the week and, of course, Tim's Trivia.
Busted Pencils, weeknights 6 till 7.
Your new choice. Real news, great conversation. 540 WAUK.
It's time for a Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Muck along with us this morning. Snow already in Green Bay. You said that is for central Wisconsin. If you're going to be doing some traveling, got to watch out a little bit, huh?
Yeah, that snow extends all the way from Green Bay back toward Minneapolis, Black River Falls, Wisconsin. Further north, you know, not quite to Park Falls, but certainly Wausau all the way up to Rhinelander, Antigo, all the way to Escanaba. It's snow, a little band of moderate snow from Green Bay back toward central parts of Minnesota, if you will, Pam. So, yeah, it looks wintry with that snow falling. Snow that fell in Minnesota, of course, over the weekend. Some light snow slipped into Wisconsin late Saturday, Saturday night. A little bit of precipitation here and there. I do see late last night there was a whole hundredth of an inch of a mix of precipitation at La Crosse. Eau Claire, so far this morning, if it were rain, would be 0.06 of an inch. Yeah, that's close to a half inch of snow, I would expect. So that's the activity going on. Low pressure has taken a front off to our south, kind of meandering from parts of Nebraska to Iowa, Illinois. A weak system's just off to our northeast. That's why we have that snow. It will remain, say, in the Highway 29 corridor and a bit further north today, but there could be some 1 to 3 inch amounts. And toward Green Bay and Oconee County area, could be talking 4 inches or more. So a little more snow to deal with in the north, more clouds, kind of quiet weather in the south. But we're not out of that chance either. A little drizzle, a few snowflakes, maybe a little freezing rain almost anywhere this morning, but that should be about the extent for a lot of us in the south. That precipitation in the north today. The next low starts to move in. It may stay a little further south, but into the day Wednesday may account for some snow and freezing rain, especially in southern Wisconsin. A little light snow further north, but a mix of precipitation developing a little later on for Wednesday into Wednesday night could make things a little more interesting again as we start on into the second part of our work week. I'll have our forecast details right after
this. If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
It's all about the bacon. Hanging bacon. Enjoy bacon and friends while celebrating at the 2025 Porkapalooza, Thursday, February 6th at the Corn Soy Expo in the Wisconsin Dells. Porkapalooza features pork appetizers, beverages, live music by Super Tuesday in both live and silent auctions supporting youth programs and the Wisconsin pork industry. There will also be some special appearances by Mr. Pig and U.S. Olympic swimmer Phoebe Bacon. Porkapalooza is presented by the Wisconsin Pork Association. To learn more, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Yeah, a bunch of the whole staff is going to be moving around this week. Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Convention, Corn Soy later this week. Keeping an eye on road conditions for them, Stu.
Yeah, we're going to have to pay a little more attention, especially in the north yet today and maybe later Wednesday night in the south. Things could be different. I mean, we have a winter weather advisory across central, call it north central Wisconsin, until 9 a.m. at Eau Claire, about 10 a.m. at Park Falls, and then until noon from Wausau East all the way to Green Bay. That winter weather advisory for some snow. Our Compeer, our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update does indeed call for cloudy skies. Fog in the south, a little light snow, but heavier in central parts of Wisconsin. Still with temperatures today, at least heading into the mid-30s, could be up to about 38 at Madison and Milwaukee. The north winds 5 to 15. More clouds through the nighttime, even some clearing later on, and we fall into the mid-teens south, the double digits in the north, and the north winds about 5 to 10. Clouds redevelop on Tuesday. Not a bad day, but cooler. Very low 20s north, mid-20s south. North and northeast winds at 5 to 15. And more clouds Wednesday, Pam. That's when, especially toward afternoon, maybe freezing rain in the south, a little snow elsewhere, and it lingers on into Wednesday night. I don't expect a big icing or anything, but slick conditions and snow, you know, maybe up to an inch in the south about it, but it will be slippery later on Wednesday into Thursday morning.
You know, honestly, we're going to have to kind of relearn driving skills. We haven't been challenged a whole lot yet this winter.
No, here and there it has been, but statewide, we all haven't had that big winter weather spell, except way back in early January.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Good enough. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and see what's shaking.
All right, see you there.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for, brought to you courtesy of our friends at Compure Financial. Compure Financial, your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com for more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's touting new 25% tariffs that kick in on Mexican and Canadian imports tomorrow.
Canada's been very abusive of the United States for many years.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I am saying to President Trump, stop these tariffs. You campaigned on lowering prices.
Crews begin raising pieces of the American Airlines jet that collided with an Army helicopter from the Potomac today. Washington, D.C. Fire and EMS Chief John Donnelly.
During our salvage surveys in preparation to lift the aircraft, additional remains were located and removed from the river and taken to the medical examiner's office.
Remains of 55 of the 67 victims have been recovered. At the Grammys on CBS, Beyonce won her first Album of the Year prize and Country Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter.
I'd like to thank all of the incredible country artists that accepted this album. We worked so hard on it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Oscars are just 4 weeks away, and if you missed some of the Best Picture nominees the first time around or don't have access to the films in theaters, don't despair. The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, I'm Still Here, and Nickel Boys are unavailable to stream at the moment, but the rest of the nominees are available to watch in the comfort of your own home. Anora, Wicked, and The Substance are all on pay-per-view for anywhere from $4 to $20. 20 big ones might sound like a lot, but oftentimes is cheaper than actually going to the theater. The following potential Best Pick winners are free if you have the appropriate platforms. Conclave is on Peacock. You can catch A Real Pain on Hulu, and Emilia Perez is available on Netflix. Check them out. It will make watching the Oscars more fun. And at those prices, you can't afford not to be a couch potato. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another loss for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had the lead but lost at home last night to the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-119. Giannis had 30 points, Chris Middleton with 20. Damian Lillard asked how Milwaukee has now lost to the Grizzlies 7 games in a row.
They got a lot of depth, so they're constantly bringing in different bodies, and they all fly around, they crash the glass. You know, to beat a team like this, you got to match that energy.
The Bucks are in Oklahoma City tonight against the Thunder. The Badgers are back home tomorrow night against Indiana. They picked up a win at Northwestern over the weekend. NFL in New Orleans, the Chiefs and the Eagles getting ready for the Super Bowl this Sunday. If Kansas City wins, that would make Patrick Mahomes a three-peat champion like Michael Jordan or baseball's Derek Jeter.
I'm watching them and listening to the things that when they talk about, that's helped shape my career and how I have to work. And obviously, that's a long way, so I feel like, still for me to go to be mentioned with those guys, but I'll try to do whatever I can to be close enough as I can be.
That's the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey K. joins to reflect on the legacy of the birthday boys Thomas Paine and FDR. Also, will tariffs on Canada and Mexico lower prices for Wisconsinites? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have a little patchy fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy here through the day today. Our high right around 38 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 22. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 30. We could see a little more freezing rain and snow by Wednesday night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Is Emmett dead last? The season that just was?
Immigrant labor, deportations, tariffs, now more formally announced over the weekend against Canada, Mexico, and China, three of the biggest partners that Wisconsin agriculture has. Welcome back, everybody, on a Monday morning. It's Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. You know, we're going to take a closer look at how important those trade partners are by the numbers, and we're also going to visit with Chad Vincent, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and chair of the Wisconsin Ag Exports Council. Now, that Ag Exports Council has been in place for about 2 years, and the goal was to use the little available funding to help with grants for commodity groups and agribusinesses to make new partners on the international marketplace. Have they been able to do that? Are the relationships we've been able to establish, the products we've been able to share, strong enough to weather the latest tariff announcements? We'll talk with Chad about that on a Monday. It is the third day of February. What can I tell you? They call this the day the music died. What happened? A plane crash in Iowa that killed rock and roll musicians Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper. Now, what does it connect to Wisconsin? Believe it or not, they had just wrapped up performances in Green Bay and Appleton, but the weather was so bad, instead of driving, they decided to charter a plane. And that plane is exactly what went down in a cornfield in Iowa today, the day the music died. On this day, in 1972, did you know the deadliest snowstorm in history happened? It was an Iran blizzard that lasted a week, left literally whole villages without survivors. They estimate 4,000 people died in a snowstorm on this day back in 1972 in Iran. What can I tell you? Happy birthdays. Happy birthday today to actor, comedian Nathan Lane. He is 69 years young. And now you know, as I mentioned, there are a lot of national issues that could impact Wisconsin agriculture. Today we're talking mostly about tariffs, but we also have to keep an eye on what's happening with immigration reform and the phrase mass deportation. Could that impact Wisconsin agriculture? Stephanie Hoff speaks with one guest who's trying to remain optimistic.
Mass deportation is a phrase we're hearing frequently now with a new administration, but it's followed with some question marks. Today, we're getting some perspective on what President Trump's immigration stance looks like and how it could impact Wisconsin farmers. Cody Heller joins us from Central Wisconsin Ag Services, which works in veterinary care, seed sales, and agronomy services. In addition, Cody farms 7,000 acres and operates a 3,000-cow dairy. So tracking policy is a part of the job. I ask him what his initial takeaways are from the Trump administration when it comes to agricultural labor since Inauguration Day.
Labor is obviously the hot topic that we're going to be seeing in the industry, and a lot of fear is driven in the industry. And I think the focus on a lot of the labor issues are going to be specifically driven in criminals. We've heard Tom Homan, head of Immigration and ICE, come out and say we're going to go after criminals. I think the focus is going to be heavy on criminals, heavy on people accused of theft. And a lot of that fear about mass deportations, mass is subjective, of course. And I think that we're going to look at a situation where hopefully a lot of that on-farm labor isn't affected, because farmers don't generally employ criminals. Across the state of Wisconsin, we've got over 10 to 15,000 undocumented workers just on dairy farms alone. And the impact of deporting thousands upon thousands or even millions of immigrants would truly destroy the economy. It would hurt Wisconsin's economy. It would hurt in the manufacturing fields, hospitality fields, construction fields. It's going to have such a dynamic impact if there's this mass exodus of labor that the U.S. impact would be so heavy that it's unfeasible to physically do.
Can you ballpark for us how much we rely on foreign or guest workers?
Yeah, so right now there's about 70,000 undocumented individuals in Wisconsin, where about 45,000 of them are actually employed. And, you know, the agriculture industry takes up 10,000 to 15,000 of those workers alone.
But as you said, it goes a lot further than agriculture.
Correct. Yeah. Tourism, which is Wisconsin's other major source of revenue from out of state. And the impact, economic impact of those undocumented workers in Wisconsin is $250 million annually. To shut down or slow down that economic machine is A, difficult, but B, would be truly detrimental to the economic health of not only Wisconsin, but states across the country.
In summary, you're not sold on the fact that President Donald Trump is going to enact mass deportation. As you said, it's subjective, and right now he's focusing on a small sector of those people.
I expect more raids to happen in sanctuary cities to get the criminals out, but I do not expect there to be this gigantic exodus of those undocumented workers, no matter what country they're from, that are just going minding their own business. They have dreamers as children, or they have U.S. citizen, you know, ties to other family members, and that are just going on their day paying taxes. And speaking of that, the amount of tax payments in to the federal government from just Wisconsin undocumented workers is over $100 million. And that goes into our Social Security and our Medicare budgets. So taking that away, too, would be detrimental to not only the administration, but to the economics as a whole in the country.
You mentioned raids. If you're a farm or agribusiness that has guest workers, I mean, if ICE knocks on the door, what are your rights as a business? And should you be proactive about getting that information?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you can do is reach out. There's a lot of resources, whether it be at the University of Wisconsin and in the Extension Department from Legal Resources, but, you know, contacting your attorney about what your rights are and to make sure that your documents are in line. I mean, that's one of the biggest things in our industry that we've focused on, is making sure that your I-9s are right in order and audited, internally audited. And you can have your legal counsel audit your records to make sure that if they show up on the dairy, that A, you're allowing them in places that they are allowed to have access to, if they have what type of warrant they have, whether they have an administrative warrant or a judicial warrant, can determine, you know, how far in the dairy they can get, or if they're just looking for documents, or if they're looking for individuals. You have rights, and you can ask questions. And a lot of the times when we've seen raids in the past with the prior administrations, they're looking for a selected individual. And they're not doing mass raids anymore. Now, that could change with this administration, where they just come in and wipe out an entire, you know, subset of the farm, but we're not seeing that. We haven't seen that in a long time. But get your documents in order, seek your legal counsel to see what your rights are, and have them on speed dial if something does happen.
Cody Heller taking some time with us from Central Wisconsin Ag Services. He was recently a panelist during the Wisconsin Agricultural Outlook Forum for his perspective on labor during a second Trump administration. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Join Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Pam will be broadcasting on Thursday at 11:30 a.m. with Compeer Financial, located in booth 409. Leave with more knowledge and connections with a visit with Compeer Financial. Enter to win Milwaukee tools for your farm. At 2 p.m., the broadcast continues with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board at booth 402. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pam Yonke. Weather looks pretty manageable today outside of a little fog this morning. 37 are expected high under cloudy skies. Tomorrow, more clouds, 25. Then Wednesday, things get a little tricky. Could see some freezing rain, possibly mixed with snow, mainly after noon on Wednesday. Daytime highs expected to be around 32 degrees. Well, as you might well expect, markets are focused in almost entirely on the announcements over the weekend of tariffs going in place against Canada, Mexico, and China, three of the biggest markets for all of Wisconsin agribusiness. Our Wisconsin farmers. Dow Jones Industrial Average, last time I looked, was down more than 600 points. December corn's down 3 at 457. November soybeans are down 3 at 1048. July wheat's down 4 at 580. On Friday, barrel cheese dropped 5.5 cents to 181. 40-pound block cheese down 5.75 cents at 187.75. Double A butter on Friday dropped 1.75 cents to 243.25 per pound. This morning, the February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 26 cents at 1964. March is down 46 cents at 1885 a hundredweight. Yes, cheese is one of the big products that could be impacted by the tariffs announced over the weekend. If you take a look at the top three markets for Wisconsin agriculture, Canada, Mexico, and China, in that order. So these are important tariffs to keep an eye on. In just a moment, I'm going to replay a conversation I had with Chad Vincent from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, chair of the Wisconsin Agribusiness Export Council, Wisconsin Ag Export Council. That was formed about 2 years ago with the goal of spreading some grant monies to commodity groups and agribusinesses to try to help bridge the gaps on international trade. According to former Wisconsin Senator Joan Bolwig, it has had strong results. It's helped to move Wisconsin to the number 11 spot when it comes to states with agricultural exports. So doing a really good job there. Bear in mind that Wisconsin exports 32% of its cheese and curd, 29% of its whey, 28% of its meat cuts, 24% of its bovine genetics, 24% of its meat preparations, all going abroad. We're talking with Chad Vincent about what he hopes the Wisconsin Ag Export Council will do in these trying times. Stand by. That conversation next on a Monday.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your new choice. Real News. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about racial justice with Lisa Jones and Eric Fanning from Red Racism Milwaukee. Then we'll talk with internationally renowned actor and Milwaukee native Casey Washington.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Note, I want to bring you a conversation I had with Chad Vincent, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and chair of the Wisconsin Ag Export Council. Now, the Ag Export Council was something that was brought to life a couple years ago by the state legislature, and it has been in place kind of handing out little bits of grant monies to commodity groups as well as Wisconsin agribusinesses so that they could work on building bridges, building relationships with other international marketplaces. It's been successful. Will it be able to overcome this latest announcement on tariffs? We'll wait and see. But Chad Vincent explains that they have goals and they have been successful.
You know, it's amazing. This is all formed out of the governor, the political machine in Wisconsin, and the Department of Agriculture here and DATCAP runs this thing. And it's amazing the traction that we've gotten in literally 15 months. This feels to me like we've been at it for like 3-4 years. The trade show that they're getting traction in around the globe. The trade missions that they're going to and taking key people that are selling your products around the planet, as well as then bringing the key buyers in from every part of the world into Wisconsin. I mean, lumber last week, chefs, cheese, seeds, crops. It's everybody's here. It's amazing.
Well, and I was told early on that although this council was only supposed to meet a certain number of times, that because of the energy, and some of it might have been the post-pandemic, got to get out there now, but there was so much energy, you guys actually started kind of going yar on how many meetings.
Yeah, in fact, we've started to dial that back a little bit. But yeah, we have two formal meetings that we twice a year to set the agendas, to get everybody's feedback, to review the results and the numbers and the data. And they're like four-hour meetings. But there was so much traction on, hey, we need to figure out logistics, or we need to figure out, you know, how do we move products in the northern part of the state through waterways, and, you know, what's going on with trucking and train. And so and there's so many different topics that have heat that we started doing almost every month or every other month webinars. And we bring the experts into the room along with the industry experts. And we talk about stuff for a couple hours and figure out who's the right people to jump in to take it even further. So,
like we said, we generally have a lot of confidence in the agricultural goods that we're producing. But like you mentioned, the infrastructure and even things like inspections and tracebacks and things like that can kind of snarl even the best laid plans. What have you learned? What has the feedback been like? And what critical points are you thinking about taking to the state capitol so they understand the need for continued commitment?
Well, the good news is that there's a lot of folks there. We have actually representatives and senators in the room, and they're attending these things. So that's fantastic that there's enough weight and energy behind this for them to spend their valuable time listening to really the what's happening in agriculture and how do they really make agriculture continue to sing here. Because we're an agricultural state, and there's no doubt about it. And if it's not for dairy and farming, rural Wisconsin's in a world of hurt, and we're like a lot of other states. And so I think they understand the importance of this. There's so many different things that are happening. I don't know that there's just one, but we spent an awful lot of time on logistics last year, right? Because there's just a shortage of everybody, right? There's a shortage of, you know, there's a shortage of boats leaving the country. There's a shortage of containers. There's a shortage of refrigerator containers. There's a shortage of truckers. So we're all working together and trying to get government to see the issues, to see where they can help and lean in. But even a lot of it is just associated allied energy, you know, like the lumber guys talking with the crop guys. And they're like, hey, we kind of see this. Maybe you should be talking to these guys about how best to move your products when the Mississippi waters are low. This is the way that we've been moving it around. it's really amazing. And, you know, personally from, you know, the dairy farmers of Wisconsin and the dairy side, you know, half of this money is being spent on dairy. So it's a half dairy. It's a half crops and it's half timber. Yeah. And man, the traction that we've had, I mean, when we first started working on exports, we were working with like four dairy companies. And as of last count, we're up to like 26. That's, you know, so these are a lot of people that are, you know, small to mid-sized guys that go, hey, look, I see the future, and the future is where 95% of the world's population lay. Help me get there. Mm-hmm. And so this organization, our organization, there's so many people in the state that are really pulling and have a lot of export expertise that they're, you know, there's so many ways for people to get involved and to move it. It's fantastic.
Chad Vincent, chair of the Wisconsin Ag Export Council, talking about the work that's been done over the past 2 years' time, building relationships, showing why Wisconsin agriculture is different, hopefully keeping those relationships in play.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
High production costs are plaguing corn and soybean growers in the U.S. That's ahead on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
You farmers and ranchers are used to taking risks. You know there's a certain probability that livestock could get a disease or a crop could be wiped out in a storm. But we also want you to think about the safety and health risks you face daily and take steps to beat the odds. Farm safety is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. It's tough to make a buck growing corn or soybeans. During an event put on recently by Field Advisor, a service provided by the Illinois Soybean Checkoff Program, University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin laid it out there.
Corn prices were currently clearly below the long-term average. And we have been below the long-term average for a little bit less than a year. History would suggest we'd probably have at least another couple years below average. What I think is the critical question facing the sector is grain prices, how low, how long?
Irwin says Illinois corn and soybean growers were getting some pretty great returns from 2020 to 22, but losses in 23 and 24 have eaten up much of those gains. And says Irwin, it can't be blamed fully on low crop prices.
From 2019 to 2024, what's interesting is gross revenue for on a combined 50-50 corn soybean basis is actually way up. It is up almost $150 an acre. Revenue has not gone down, but the issue is how rapidly costs have escalated.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Emily Zippos is back as my guest co-host. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recusing himself from an Act 10 lawsuit. What does that mean? Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Push back over tariffs on Mexican and Canadian products. National anthem before last night's game against the Clippers in Toronto. CBS's Chris Mavridis is north of the border.
At this downtown Toronto supermarket, the bin that's usually filled with a mountain of American lemons is pretty much empty. Same for the stock of oranges over there, and looks like the grapes too. Starting tomorrow, those American imports will be hit with a 25% tariff. The other thing shoppers are noticing here are red maple leaf stickers that have suddenly appeared on Canadian-made products that have also been moved to much more prominent displays.
President Trump isn't budging.
Canada's been very tough on oil, on energy. They don't allow our farm products in, essentially. They don't allow a lot of things in, and we allow everything to come in. It's been a one-way street.
The day before